Let's get into the message that most of y'all are hopefully receiving, that the Lord just wanted me to just really deliver so that people understand that you have a gifting. In your Bible, Romans chapter 12. I want you to turn there. Romans chapter 12. Now, most of you know, just to set up this basis, the base of this message, the foundation is the reason I call it the base, is because we all need a foundation of something. Now, as a Christian, it's the Word of God. It's Jesus who became the Word. He was the Word. He is the Word. All of this Bible from Genesis to Revelations is all directed at Jesus. Not some denomination, not some other preacher. Jesus. And He is our foundation, praise the Lord. If I could have someone, if you don't mind, just turn down the heat, I would definitely appreciate it. It's pretty hot up here. I don't know about y'all. Mama, are you okay? You're good? You want them to leave it that way? You're okay if I control? Thank you, ma'am. Okay. I normally look at my wife because if she's comfortable, then we're going to leave it. If I'm sweating bullets, it's not a big deal. Y'all savvy. Now, most of you know that we've been ministering on some gifting that God has given all of us. If you're born again and Jesus is your Lord, then God has given you a gifting. So don't think for one minute that you don't have something to contribute in the kingdom of God. I'm not saying you've got to preach behind a podium, but God's given you a gifting to spread this gospel of Jesus Christ. Now we find it in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, that says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. You notice he said brethren, so that's talking to believers. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. By the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, verse 2 says this, be not conformed to the world. So you have an opportunity right here to either live like the world or to not. And God's trying to teach all of us before He talks about our giftings. And He's gifted you one by the grace of Him. He's gifted you a gifting. And we're going to read about it. But He's trying to tell us before that listen, 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 son. Listen, daughter. It's what God's saying. He says, don't be conformed. Now, I know the Apostle Paul is the one that God inspired to write this. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, you cannot renew your mind unless you put something in it. You read something. That's good or bad, by the way. Because you can read a lot of filth. You can listen to a lot of junk. But God's wanting you to renew your mind in the right way. So that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, I saw Judge Stout walking up because I looked through my window. And I said, there's Judge Stout. And most of y'all know that she was a judge for a lot of years. And then retired, I think, last year, right? But, you know, when you go before a judge, I got to thinking that we need a judge has to prove what's good and what's bad. Now, we do have some judges that don't operate that way, right? And we see, but really a true judge, the judge, thank God, is causing us to not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the Word of God so that we can then prove the acceptable, perfect will of God, what's good. So you should know what's good and what's bad. So don't let the world, because if you're conformed to the world, you're going to be confused constantly. You know, What are we hearing nowadays? What is a woman? Come on, your mama. We know what a woman is. We know what a man is. But what is the world trying to do? Confuse us. To not even know what it is. Okay, I better not go there. Verse 3, for I say, though, the grace given unto me. You need to underline that if it was me, the word grace. For I say, through the grace that's given unto me. So God gave it to all of us. To every man that's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Now the reason, and then it goes on real fast to say, but think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. I told you in the messages last week and the week before that it's important that you get a hold of this. Why would God say, hey, don't think more highly than you ought to think? Well, because he's fixing to tell you about some giftings that everybody has been given a gifting. And all of you have been given, and we've been talking about these giftings. But those giftings, no matter which one you operate in primarily, and you can operate more than one, but he's trying to say, hey, don't think of yourself all high and mighty just because you got this gifting of prophecy. Because it's by the grace of God that you have it. And you always got to understand that, okay? Every one of them, of the gifting, is not more important than the other one. It's just God has given that gifting to different people. And we begin to talk about them as you read on. Verse 4, we have many members in one body. I mean, just look around. There's lots of us that are brothers and sisters, and we're all different. In one body, and all members of the same office. So we, or it actually says, and all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts, verse 6, differing according to the grace that's given unto us. Whether prophecy, and we talked about that gifting of prophecy. And so I don't need to go back into it. But I'm here to tell you, if God begins to speak to you to give someone a message that the Lord wants to deliver to them, then God's going to use you. He's not going to come down off the throne in person to deliver a message to you. Why? Well, because he's in heaven on the throne. Jesus is seated on his right side. So guess who he uses? Us. He uses us as servants, as instruments, as sons and daughters of God. And prophetically, God will give someone a message to deliver to someone else. And that's this gifting. Now listen to me, we've already established, if you have this gifting, then it's only to be done by exhortation and building up, not tearing down. And I've given a few examples of people that feel like they have a word from God and it is so negative and it does nothing but beat someone up. The example that I normally use is when the person says to a friend of mine, I have a word from the Lord, and they said, the Lord wanted me to tell you that you're going to go bankrupt not very many days from now. Now, she had enough of the word of God that she said, well, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. You know, because God's not, that is not uplifting, okay? It's not uplifting. No, the God is here to prosper you. He wants to bless his kids. He's not going to cause sickness and disease to come on you to teach you a lesson. God is good. The devil, though, is bad, okay? Then we talked about the next one. And if, by the way, if you got that first one, praise God. Then with integrity, when God gives you that message to just speak to somebody, take you a little bit of time to discern it, okay? Make sure it's uplifting what you're about to speak out of your mouth, because you're going to be held responsible for what you say. Now, don't get scared about that, though, y'all. There's times when we say stuff that maybe wasn't of the Lord, and we have to repent later. So we're not in fear of delivering something, but you need to judge it, make sure that it's uplifting, exhortation, edifying in Jesus' name. Amen. Then the second one we begin to talk about, it was ministry. And man, just having a heart of ministry is really the people that have great attitudes. I mean, those people are not pessimists, they're optimists. I mean, they're constantly looking to help. You know, it's called the helps ministry. And serving, oh Jesus, we need that in the church. By the way, we need every bit of these giftings in the church. And all of you are designed to have good attitudes. Just the love to spread the gospel, to help. They love to help in ministry, to help things stay in order and just to help people. And that ministering spirit, man, is a fantastic gift. And we prayed over people that had that. And then the next one it talks about is teaching. And really the teaching gifting is I'm not talking about the fivefold where you're up here, you know, teaching the gospel as a pastor or whatever. But it could be that. But it's also just, man, you just know how to deliver the Word of God where people understand it. I mean, you can explain things and teach them in a very easy way where they go, oh, that's what that means. And that gifting of a teacher is very important because you're the one that's going to help people that are confused to not be confused about the Word of God. And you deliver it with simplicity, and that's the way they receive it. It's very simple to serve our God and to understand it. Now, I love it when I say things like, you'll understand the Word of God if you'll understand this. Remember, God is good and the devil is bad. Say it with me, class. God is? He's good. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. But there's a devil that still reigns, not really in our life unless you let him, but he's still the prince of the air. He can still kill and destroy if you let him. I would suggest you not let him because you have the power of and the authority of Jesus. You can speak his name, glory be to God, the name that has that's above all names, and you have that authority to call on the name of the Lord Jesus. You have the authority to loose what's in heaven will be loosed here on earth. You have the authority to bound. In other words, you've got a lot of authority to speak things that be not as though they were. You have the authority to speak to a mountain, command the mountain to be cast into the sea. For example, if it's health, and some doctor said you're dying as cancer, then you have the authority as a believer in Jesus Christ to not let what the doctor said be the final authority. You have the ability, the authority to use Jesus' name and say, no, 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 I don't receive what the doctor says. I receive what the great physician says. And the great physician, the Lord Jesus, says, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. And cancer has to die in my body in Jesus' name. And I'm telling you, if you take that authority and you believe it, praise God, I'll show you people that'll go back to a doctor and them say, hey, you don't have cancer anymore. I don't know what happened. And then you'll say, I do. I was healed by the power of God, you see. Okay? So we need to teach the Word of God with simplicity. Then the next one is where I want to go today, and I hope to get two of them, because the next one is the gift of exhortation. Now, me and my wife was talking, and the gift of prophecy and the gifting of exhortation is really, really close. But yet, they're not the same. Because one is a message that you know God gave you to deliver to somebody that does bring exhortation or edification. But this person that has this gifting, oh man, and I've got it. I've got this one. It's also It also, the definition of this is encouragement as well. And so the word literally can be translated either way. It's translated both ways, actually, in various passages of the Word of God. This gift is a motivational gift. And I'll just tell you right now, one thing that I do not do is allow anyone to badmouth another minister. Well, they try to all the time. Did you hear about what they said or what they believe? And I'm talking about any of them. Until you know them, they are judged only by their fruit. And you can't judge someone's fruit by what you see on TV. So, I'm not going to let anybody talk about when they say Joel Osteen is just a motivational preacher. You better watch out, because the Bible says, touch not God's anointed. And I'm not going to judge that he might not, in his 28-minute messages, when he, you know, is just a builder upper. That's the way he is. God mandated him to build people up. Give them some hope, praise God. Yeah, but he don't ever say anything about sin. Well, how do you know? He's mandated to say what he says. But I'm not going to judge him. I need to tend to my own salvation. Would you agree with that? Instead of constantly finding ways to put someone else down. No. This gifting is very, very important in the body of Christ, because it is a motivational gift. It is two-sided, I found out. When you study it, on one hand, the people with this gift can challenge believers. I mean, they're the ones that they have this exhortation side, you know. They challenge believers to live as if God, as in the way that God wants them to live. They're not afraid, in other words, to say, hey, man, if you just turn to the Word of God and not alcohol, it'll bless you. Now, yeah, you got to be careful about condemnation and putting guilt on somebody because they have a beer or whatever. But if I had one, yeah, it would be major. I mean, it would ruin the ministry that I have, because it causes people to go all kinds of different ways, you see. But man, I love it when people just begin to build up believers and say, hey, I want to challenge you to stay hooked in the Word of God. You see, that's motivation, man, because then the Word of God gets uplifted. It's the Word of God that brings hope. It's the Word of God that sets the captives free. It's the Word of God that is yes and amen. It's truth, praise God. And man, when you get someone with a gifting of exhortation, wow, believers just begin to get built up. They don't stay down. Someone with this gifting, they're motivated constantly by building people up, not tearing down. You see, God wants us to be this kind of people, to challenge the believers, praise God. Press on to higher ground in our Christian walk, to become more like Jesus. You see, that's the challenging side of someone with the gift of exhortation. On the other hand, this gifting can also comfort the discouraged, the people that are depressed, so that burden is lifted. I mean, these people, it's just like me. I'm constantly telling people, come on, get up. You can do it. Come on, serve God. He's your only hope in this fallen world. You know, and in the rodeo area, that's what they call me. They call me, oh, excited preacher, fired up preacher. That's what they call me out there. Hey, preacher. They don't go, uh-oh, there's the preacher. There he comes. Hide. No, because when you get around me, I want you built up. I don't know if anybody has ever been around me much, but I don't imagine any of you have ever, you know, accused me of being down and broke, disgusted, downtrodden. Why? Well, because I have this gifting. I want to build you up. Do you have this gifting? Man, it is an incredible gifting. These kind of people are motivated to keep on preaching the hope that's really on the inside of them. Because, y'all, if we're conformed to the world, we don't hear anything like hope. No, it's the opposite. Hope the inflation's not going to get you. Hope you can afford those eggs, milk, gas prices, you know. You know, gold is going up. Oil and gas. You know, and all these things are designed to tear down, you see. This kind of gifting, it causes people to build you up to where you don't want to quit. Come on, you can do it. I mean, I know you might be upset about something going on in your life. But this gifting, you need to hang around the right people with this gifting, because they're going to look at you and go, hey, you can do it. Don't you let the devil win. And all that's designed to do is give you faith and hope, because that devil can't destroy you, girl, because you're his favorite. You're God's favorite. See, that gifting, that's what that does, and it's not a lie. It's just, this gifting causes people to get built up. Come on, you can do it, buddy. I'm going to stand on the Word of God. When you've done all you can do to stand, and that's what happens when you get this gifting, because, man, they'll get you fired up. They'll get that attitude like an old lion, not a bad lion, but a good one, man, that says, hey, you get yourself up. Don't you let that devil try to steal, kill, and destroy you. He's just a stinking fallen angel. He ain't got nothing on you, girl. Amen. See what happens? Amen, cowboy. You know, you see what I'm saying? You want this gifting, y'all. And if you've got it, let God, you can get your eyes on all the junk of the world, but the ones that have this gifting, they get their eyes off of it immediately and they just begin to build up. Now, they may be hearing a whole bunch of junk come in their ears. They may have gone through a whole bunch of stuff that the enemy's tried to destroy them with. But, man, these are the ones that get around the right people. And the one with this gifting, they'll tell you, hey, dust your old self off. When you can do all you can do to stand, stand. That devil ain't going to beat you. And, I mean, they're just building you up. Joshua 1:9, I wrote this down. Well, you know what it says? Have I not commanded you? Question mark. Have I not? This is God saying it. Look at me, son. Girl, listen to me. Have I not commanded you to be strong, of good courage? Do not be afraid or dismayed. You know what that word dismayed means? Distressed or have stress. Don't you be afraid. Don't you have stress. For the Lord your God. Come on, be ready to scream right here. Just a good shout of an amen. Ready? Hang on. For the Lord your God. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Go ahead. See, that's worthy of shouting right there. Because your God's with you always. Well, see, this person with this anointing, that's what they're constantly doing. Come on. God's already commanded you to be strong. Come on, do it. Come on, you can do it. You people with that ear things, you ought to be saying, ha, devil thought you had me trying to mess with my sinus area, my ears. Ha, I'm healed by the power of God in Jesus' name. Take that, devil. You see, you get excited. You get built up. Whoever has this gifting is constantly encouraging. Joni got that gifting. AJ, I mean, I never see him in a foul mood. Joni might, but I don't. He's just happy all the time back there. Hayes, I think you got that, because Hayes is a preacher friend of mine. Trey Johnson's boy is back there in the back. They're going to a rope. And, well, he's always happy. He always comes up, how you doing, brother? Well, see, that's what we need in this world. Why? Because we're not conformed to the world. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind. Okay? All right? So if you've got that gifting, we're going to pray over it here in just a little bit. But here's one more before I close. And I love this one. I just do. Because you better all want this one. Because it's the spiritual gift of giving. And you want it. Listen, I know that some people think that God will slip this one in to make us uncomfortable. But it's actually the opposite of that. Because the spiritual gift of giving is something that really every single person in here should want. The spirit of giving. Because God gives it to individuals in an unusual ability to earn finances. These people, and I've had it since I was a little kid. I've just had a way. I bought a house not very long ago, two or three years ago, and I'll just tell you since it's sold, I'll tell you. I bought it for $150,000 and sold it for $550,000. Okay, listen. The reason that God will put these things into people that have this gift of giving is because money don't control them, they control it. Anytime someone gives, like a guy walked up to me, and I don't do, as y'all know, I don't take a salary at this church. I don't do gimmicks. I don't have to beg, try to figure out ways to get that hard-earned dollar out of someone. No, I just teach, what does the Bible say about the area of giving? That's why in Genesis, God starts from the beginning and goes all the way to the New Testament talking about sowing and reaping. And I've just understood the principle. And since money doesn't control me, man, God can trust this person with money. Because they don't hoard it up. They don't bury it in trees. No, they're constantly quick to give. A man walked up to me. I just got on my knees the other day. It's been two or three months ago. And I said, sir, I believe that you put on my heart to build this church debt-free. And we're building an arena. It's a covered arena and it's expensive. And I ask you to provide and get the thing built, sir, in Jesus' name. And then I left. And you always wonder in your mind, how is the finances going to come to do what God has called us to do? And here comes the call. A man called me and said, hey, Corey, what's the address of your ministry? So I told him. But I didn't really know what they were about to send. And they sent $100,000. And you know where we put it? The arena. To help just. And then, you know, I'm not going to embarrass people, but they'll walk up when I come out of my office and hand a check for $20,000. Why does God do that to some people? Because they have this gifting. Money doesn't control them. They control it, and then just, I remember when someone handed me, this has been a few years ago, at the Austin Rodeo, I've told y'all this one other time, a lady walked up and said, hey, the Lord told me to give you $75,000. It was over almost 20 years ago. You know what I did first with it? I said, well, Father, first of all, I receive this in Jesus' name, because $20,000 is nothing to the Lord, right? Boy, and ours, oh, praise the Lord. I can buy a lot of beer with that. The first thing that we did as a family is said, Father, where do you want this used? Well, guess where most all of it went? To buy this land. I could have said, praise the Lord, I'm going to Mexico. You want this gifting, y'all. Because let me tell you just a little bit about it. Because the person that has this spirit looks for places to give to people. I mean, I'm constantly looking. Who has a need? Who has a need? I want to bless them. That's this gifting, y'all. It's all designed to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ in some way. It's designed to help bless people to get out of debt. It's designed to help people get motivated that money doesn't have to control them, because then the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money. And I'm not just talking about giving financially, but there's all kinds of ways of giving. Just having a heart to give. Because this person loves to give. They're constantly looking for people. And they give generously. And then they trust God to meet their own needs. Paul says it this way, let him who gives do it liberally. And when you look up this word liberally, it actually means with simplicity, single-mindedly. This person that has this gifting has no ulterior motive for the giving. They just want to give. They want to bless somebody, but they don't. I knew one person that God blessed them with lots of finances, and no one ever knew it. They were modest. They didn't have the fanciest things, but they're just the ones that said, I'm looking for a place to give. Listen to me. I'm telling you, you want this gifting because you're the one that God can trust to get the finances to. And if you have this gifting, it's not for you personally, primarily. It might be. I mean, God might just want to bless you at times. But this person with this gifting, biblically, they just have a motive to give. I mean, they're not trying to, again, impress people. They're not trying to buy influence. I mean, I'm in a ministry, y'all. Trust me, there's a lot of things done politically. The person that has the spiritual gift of giving, they don't not tithe. I mean, it's yours. You're the one that blessed me with it. Where a lot of people don't think this way. I mean, they think that the church is just trying to get their old hard-earned money we talked about earlier. You see. Oh, man, when you got the gift of giving, man, God supernaturally blesses you just to help other people's needs. I wrote some things down that, again, when you put this gift into use, God's work is going to get spread across the gospel. Remember when the word says in, Acts chapter 1, that when you're a giver, God wants you to spread the gospel to Samaria, Judea, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. But he also wants you to get out of debt. Oh, no man but to love him. I'm telling you, if you've got a spiritual gifting of giving, then let God pour the finances into you so that you can be a blessing. You have a business. Do you realize that the Bible says God reigns on the just and the unjust? In other words, his principles will work for unjust people. I mean, you see it all the time. I knew one talk show person that, man, she would pay off people's houses. I mean, God just blessed because that principle of giving works with the just and the unjust. But with the unjust, God's not going to get the glory. But with the justified people, God gets the glory. Amen. So those two giftings, real fast, the gift of edifying, exhortation, and the gift of giving, if God has put those two giftings on the inside of you, I want you to stand up and let me pray over you. And then we'll do two more next week. The gift of exhortation, man, God just puts it on your heart to just build people up. This person is one that never tears down. And then God's given you a gift, the grace to be a giver. I want you to stand up because, man, God, he blesses those people. Now, if you feel like you don't have those and you want them, then you might want to stand up too. I mean, but God's going to He's going to pour it into your life. I mean, in other words, maybe you've been used to just, you were raised kind of tearing people down because that's just kind of how your family did. Well, it's time to change. It's time to start building people up in Jesus' name. Father, every person that's standing that has those two giftings, the gift of exhortation, building up, being motivated to do good, or the person that has the gifting to give, you're just constantly giving. Father, I thank you, Lord, for those two giftings that they just come out of these people. Father, that you bless them with encouraging words where they speak, words of edifying, exhortation, building up, lifting up. And Father, that they don't do anything other than that if they have that gift of exhortation. That you constantly put in their paths people that need to be built up. And Father, the people that have that gift to give, I thank you, sir, that they wouldn't give in the wrong ways, but they would give because they want to spread the gospel. They want to lift people up. Father, these people, I thank you, Lord, that you would pour out the blessing financially because they're the ones you can trust. But Father, all the rest of us, we want that trust. So Father, thank you, Lord, that if we get into the principle of sowing and reaping, then you pour it out in our lives as well. But that person that has that gift to give, sir, thank you for their obedience to spread the gospel, to give where you tell them to. If they need to help someone build a house, then help them, give them, bless them, sir. Father, thank you, Lord, that we're going to continue to believe to do things debt-free at this place as well, as we give you all the honor, all the glory for these two giftings in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody repeat this prayer with me. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, come into my life and save me. Forgive me of my sin, but thank you, Jesus, that you're my Lord, that you're my Savior, that you're my friend. In Jesus' name I pray. With no one looking around, just real fast, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you just confessed it, you gave your heart to Jesus, you had never done that before, but today you just prayed it, you meant it. I'm talking to people that you don't know what would happen to if you died and left this earth. You don't know if you'd go to heaven or you don't know if you'd go to hell. But you just prayed that prayer. If that was you and you just gave your heart to Jesus for the very first time, when I count to three, I want you to raise your hand up and say, God, I just prayed that prayer for the first time and Jesus is now my Lord and I meant it. And then put your hand back down. If there's anybody that just did that, you received Jesus, you prayed the prayer, you meant it, and you just did it for the first time, get that hand up when I say three. And I want you to do it with boldness. Because if you confess Jesus before men, Jesus says, hey, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. In other words, don't be afraid to let people know that you just gave your heart to Jesus if you prayed that prayer and you never had. So if you just gave your life to the Lord and you prayed it with all of us, then get that hand up. Tell God that you just gave your heart to Him and it's an honor. Are you ready with boldness? If anybody just gave their heart to Jesus and prayed that prayer for the very first time, get that hand up at three. One, two, three. I see it. Thank y'all. I see both of you. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? I know people are standing. Three people? Amen. Glory. All right, look at me. God, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm so honored, y'all. Hey, I'm so honored. I know we're going to be dismissed. Thank God. Y'all don't have to sit down. Aren't y'all fixing to get up and leave? Love y'all very much. Y'all that gave your hearts to Jesus, If you live around here, this is a good church to plug into. Amen. If you live somewhere else, then find a good Bible-believing church. Amen. It's 12:08. They say in the world that that's 8 minutes overtime. Thank y'all for being here. Love y'all very, very much. Keep believing God with us. Amen. Stand to your feet and we'll be dismissed.